China.
MSG.
Okay. Are we recording finally?
We are recording.
Oh, where's our theme music? Come on, David. Put on the theme music.
You know what? We hired an editor just to do that, so it's coming, I think.
Should we do a little song to transition to our next topic?
Richard shit.
Say what?
Richard shit.
I'm sorry, I just bought a cigarette truck yesterday. I just
Was it Bethel?
Yes, it was. And I just tauboed my malt liquor.
Oh, yeah.
My truck of malt liquor.
My cat's going nuts over there. I don't know what he's doing. We have a crazy cat. Anyway, what I think, you know, back to big changes. This is season two. And I think we both realize this, right? You know, and this is what we want to talk about a little bit today, is WeChat, payment, Alipay, and am I missing anything?
Apple Pay,
for sure.
And cash.
And credit card. And
look, I think
payment methods.
Look, here's what I feel. After coming back from the States and coming back to Shanghai, even within 1 year, I think that the whole landscape and the marketplace has changed almost to a pre-cashless society in Shanghai. I say that, I don't know if it's because it wasn't accessible to me before as a foreigner, as the banks and the laws have now become a lot more lenient or a lot more accepting for foreigners to be able to purchase online, use Alipay, register for Alipay, and use WeChat Pay.
Okay, let's first define this real quick for our listeners. So hopefully everyone knows what PayPal is, right? We're not going to go into much detail what PayPal
is.
Please
not. Huh? Please don't.
Yeah. I mean, but essentially, you know, in China being China, I think there was PayPal in China. Maybe it still is.
Okay. Long story short.
We have to start with PayPal, right? But why isn't PayPal here? Why isn't PayPal in China? It was in China.
Why isn't a lot of things that are not in China?
Exactly. Why?
To allow the Chinese businesses the
exactly foothold. So there's an actual government policy to one degree or another that encourages local businesses and discourages foreign competitors.
Right.
So if you're familiar with WhatsApp, some people, you know, in the States are not really familiar with WhatsApp because everyone just text messages and that uses your your WeChat. So, but there's WhatsApp in Europe, they use that a lot. In Japan they have Line and they have chat message. It's a chat program on your smartphone. There's WeChat, which is what everybody uses in China to communicate. Then you have things like Alipay, which is how would you describe Alipay?
Like a PayPal,
but it really isn't. I think it's
look. I don't think we can really define it by Western terms because I don't think there's anything here like that.
So
I think we should define it. We should build a definition for ourselves.
So I think how about this then? How about this? Alipay is electronic, peer-to-peer and business-to-peer, business-to-peer, business-to-consumer, consumer-to-business, consumer-to-consumer, peer-to-peer, whatever you want to call it, financial system.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's not really a bank.
It's okay. It's a platform for you to move your money around and for people to get their money. So I can move it from me to you, you to a store, you to McDonald's, you to Starbucks, you to online store to buy tickets, to buy rail tickets, to buy movie tickets.
Pay your electricity bill.
Pay your electricity bill. Basically, everything in China I have found so far that's a day-to-day useful item or something that you might use for entertainment is in WeChat or Alipay somehow.
Yes, agreed. I think it's... And
that's also taxis and transportation.
Taxis, not so much yet. Not yet. There's a few.
There are a few brands. But
it's coming. It's starting.
It's
coming. So, in essence, it's not a bank, but yet you could put money and hold money in it.
Yes, you can.
Which is really weird. And it could actually give you interest rates. So now there's a... Through another platform that they have, you could... And this is only available to Chinese citizens. You could give them money to kind of invest your money with them, and they'll give you a pretty good
return
on that, better than most banks. I think all banks. I do want to say, what's the differences with Alipay? And I mean, honestly, I haven't used Alipay for a long time. I don't know if you remember. What would you say the differences are?
Between Alipay and what?
And I'm sorry, Alipay and PayPal.
Well, I didn't even use PayPal because PayPal is always was a bitch in the States.
It was. I remember.
Apparently, it got a lot easier to use, but it was such a turnoff that I never used it.
Yeah, I always had a hard time. The only time I would use PayPal was if you sell stuff on eBay.
But here, okay, here
and you have to use. It.
I haven't used, like I said, I haven't used PayPal in the States, and I don't know if they have an app. I don't know if they have.
They do.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't know. But the ease of Alipay here and the total saturation it has into the market in day to day life. For example, me and you went out for dinner the other day. I paid with my Alipay. It was $200, and you sent me $100 on Alipay. So yeah. We split the bill.
Yeah.
On the way home, huh?
Instantaneously.
It took us about almost only a minute to pay the bill and split the bill.
Yeah.
You know? So, and then I went home in a taxi, and I scanned the taxi with my Alipay and paid the taxi with that. And then in the morning, I woke up and went for lunch, and I paid with my Alipay at Wagga's, and I got my salad and my pasta.
It's pretty fantastic, and I think...
And it's all off of the app on the phone. It's all about scanning and
yeah,
and
before we get into that, I think what's important is, and the speed that I think is really important, is just universal acceptance.
Yes.
Everywhere. It's just, it was almost overnight that suddenly you could walk into any little rinky convenience store, and suddenly you could use Alipay. Like, it was just, you know, try to go, and I could be wrong on that, but I've been to the States recently. You have been to try to go into your local, immigrant-run convenience store and try to pay with PayPal.
No.
A lot of restaurants don't accept even credit cards or debit cards. You get cash only.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
cash only.
Or they don't. So they have only Visa, MasterCard, not Amex.
Yeah. Or
Diners Club. Whatever
the fuck Diners Club is.
Yeah, whatever Diners Club is.
I saw, by the way, Diners Club for the first time like a month ago, and I was like, they try to pay for it. It was like swiping. It doesn't work. And then I looked at it. It said Diners Club. I was like, what the hell is this? I mean, I know what it is. This is my first time in my life. And I told them, this is the first time in my life I see a Diners Club card.
And what did they say?
They said, wow. And I said, you have to use another card. Okay. Like, I don't know anyone who accepts this. But you know what I'm saying? Like, so, and maybe some businesses do. And I know I've read some stuff that PayPal is trying to do it. But the thing is, I want to say literally overnight. But I think it was literally overnight.
It was literally overnight. At least for the expat community, it was literally overnight.
Yeah.
I know the Chinese community have been doing this kind of these kind of transactions for a while. But the saturation into the market of Shanghai of being able to use this is just amazing.
Yeah.
Look, I have 40 RMB in my wallet, which is about $5.
Mm-hmm.
I've had $5 in my wallet for almost 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I haven't used cash for shit.
Yeah. I the only thing I use it really is cabs. Taxis, because not all taxis have that. Really, I think it's the only thing I use it for.
Right.
I don't... And street food, I guess. But it is pretty incredible how it came. But there's one thing I do want to talk to you about, because it is incredible, and its acceptance everywhere, I think, is kind of interesting. But... I want to talk to you about... In Hong Kong, you spend some time in Hong Kong. You live there, we live there. They have...
The Octopus Card.
The Octopus Card.
That's different.
How is that different? In a sense, it's better.
Why?
Because it's untraceable money. You don't need a password. You don't need to set it up. You could charge it anywhere. You could charge from your bank. You could charge it with cash. You don't need to set it up with anything.
I see some Mark of the Beast New World Orders things coming from you.
What's it called? But that's the next point. Alipay will track all your transaction, what you buy, where you buy it, who you buy it from.
So?
And I'm already receiving ads on my phone. Okay. Text messages.
So?
I don't like it.
Well, that seems like more of a policy problem than a platform problem.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. But no, but it's both. It's both.
Well, it does matter.
It does. No, but it's both. There's... with the platform that Octopus is. So Octopus is just a card that you basically, at first it was, you use it for subway, you know, you scan it as you go to the subway, bus, but then now you could use it everywhere.
Right, you can use it at McDonald's or a 7-Eleven, things like that.
Yeah, you buy it for like, I don't know, 10 Hong Kong dollars, which is like a dollar or something, and then you charge it whatever you want.
Right.
And then it's virtually impossible with the Octopus platform for them to send you ads.
Okay.
Even if they wanted to.
Okay.
There's just... not gonna happen.
Which is good, you know. I really like the Octopus card, and you know it's a thing. But you know, it's a, it, of course it's a thing. It's a
thing.
It's a convenience. But I mean, it cannot compare to Alipay or WeChat Pay.
No. I mean, it's older technology. I mean, Octopus has been forever. And I mean, it was before you. This Alipay would be impossible without smartphones.
Right.
It would be impossible.
Yep.
Yeah. You literally.
Octopus Card was before smartphones, yeah. And honestly, it is a cool system that Hong Kong has set up internally for Hong Kong. But Alipay is just superior to that, and I think the problems that you pointed out are more policy problems by people not exclaiming what they expect out of the service instead of being more passive and accepting whatever the service gives them.
But once it's everywhere and once it's the only form of payment, it's just you literally have no choice.
I think you do have a choice. I think you do have a choice. I mean, if the spamming of the phones and the ads and the pop-ups and things like that. I mean, even when you turn on Alipay, there's a pop-up screen of some kind of ad or whatever, yeah. And they're selling ad space. I think that those things are controllable. I think the market, even in China, you can control the market. The people and what they want and what they use and what they accept is controlled. Remember when they started charging on all the ATMs for transactions between ATMs, and people started going and camping out in front of the ATMs?
No, I don't remember that.
You don't remember when they started charging?
I don't think I was there.
You were there.
Were I there? I don't think so.
Anyway.
I don't remember this happening.
I mean, I think that was because it was almost overnight. Remember when we first got here around 2004, we used to be able to go to, with our bank cards, every bank, and transactions were free. And then all of a sudden they started charging Tukwai at every output or
it's free ATM. Here though. It is free here.
I think that's a change because of what happened.
Really?
Yeah, they started charging, and then Beijing, at least in Beijing, they started camping out and going that this isn't fair. That I can't take out my money out of my bank with my card, and they thought it was an infringement of rights.
I think that's the exception. I think that's
it might be an exception, but it is also an example of what people could do.
I could, but I mean, in the same sense, yeah. Well, no, I don't think.
But see, the thing with the thing,
so are you saying people should riot and protest?
I think that if it was a big deal, people would say something. But it's really not. What you can do is just turn off your notifications.
No, I don't think that's how it works. I don't think that's how it works. I think, well, maybe people don't think it's a big deal.
And I don't think it's a big deal because honestly, sometimes I get those notifications from Alipay and PayPal, I'm sorry, Alipay and WeChat Pay, and I get discounts.
Fair enough. But what I'm trying to say is, would you consider that privacy is an? Would you acknowledge that privacy could be an issue?
I don't really care.
I know you don't care, but I'm just saying. It's not about you. I'm just saying in general. I think, and that's because I don't care either. Really, I get the ads, and I still use Alipay everywhere. But I think it is data mining.
It's an annoyance, and I think if you're an American, you're sitting there like I don't. It's an ingrained thought to say, I don't want the government or people or the companies to know what I'm buying or what I'm doing or whatever. Mm. But why? Who cares? What are you buying?
That's a different. And actually, let's not go down there because there's a different. It's like saying if you have nothing to hide, you know, why you care? Why do you care?
True.
I think that's a bullshit argument. I think.
Well, I'm not saying that argument, and I do understand the concerns, but I also don't understand what's the big deal.
Well, you're initially saying you have nothing to hide. This is exactly what you said. If you have nothing to hide, what do you care about? If you're not a terrorist. Well, what do you care? The police come to your house, take a look around, because you're not comfortable with it, period. I mean, that could be it. I'm just not comfortable.
Okay.
You know, and that's why I care, because I'm not comfortable with it. So, and you can say why, but you can say why forever. Now you sound like a three-year-old. I'm not saying you, but I'm just saying whoever, why you're comfortable. I'm not comfortable, period. I do not like anyone. I don't like anyone keeping track of my purchases or, you know, and then selling that ad space. And then, you know, I do not like that for whatever reason. And I mean, and I'm sure there's probably problems with that we can't think of it right now. Mm-hmm. When a company does structure, you know, then it'll determine. Maybe next time, you know, you apply for a loan, they'll be like, well, you've been buying a lot of, I don't know, crack cocaine. I don't know what you could buy, whatever. Which are Alipay.
Crack cocaine on Taobao.
No, whatever. I mean,
I'm going to search that. Can I eat Taobao crack cocaine?
But whatever. I'm teasing about that, of course. But I'm just saying, I think there's a way that they could start constructing a profile, which could be detrimental to you. For whatever reason, you know, maybe you're an alcoholic and you want to leave that behind and you're starting a new life, but yet you have this you know,
ads of pop up of
yeah, or maybe that's who they build and the company
of Jameson,
right now
all that delicious
label
Jameson.
You as an alcoholic because you have this history, which could be true or could be bad, could be true or could be false. In any case, it is taking away some form of control out of the consumer through that data mining and through privacy, but Wait, let me say it. On the other way, if I was Alipay, oh yeah, I would. That's a gold. That is gold. That information is amazing. You literally could build a profile of who you are.
Yeah,
based on your profile. Actually, very easily. Actually,
yeah. I mean, I personally don't mind it. I actually appreciate the recommendations. Sure. I do get annoyed. But I don't think that this history that I have is, you know.
Yeah, personally, I don't mind either. I don't mind either, but I'm just saying I don't mind right now. It's, you know, when you do mind, it'll be already too late. That's kind of the issue with
it. I do understand that. I mean, everybody always says, what if you run for office and then you have a Taobao account of all, you know, master dildos?
100%.
And they're like, well, you know.
Exactly. Can you imagine that?
At least we're not buying monster dildos. And you're just like, what the fuck? How'd you know that? Yeah, it's like, thank you, Taobao. Actually, it happened to me about a year ago, that, and which is a concern, kind of going on the same lines as, you know, my LinkedIn account.
Mm-hmm.
I sent out a CV, like I said, about last year ago, and they came back to me and they said, "Oh, impressive CV. We want to meet with you. We want you to talk with the owners of the company to be the GM, whatever." I'm like, "Okay, great. You know, whatever." And I was sending emails back and forth, and they came back about 5 minutes before the interview and said, "I'm sorry, we have to cancel the interview." And I said, "Whoa. Why? What happened?" And they said, "Well, we found discrepancies between your LinkedIn account and your CV." And I'm like, "Well, I haven't updated my LinkedIn account. You know, I mean, I don't really give two craps about it. My CV is what I'm presenting to you, not my online profile, LinkedIn account." And he's like, "Well, it doesn't matter. I'm really sorry. There are discrepancies." So I was like, "Wow, that kind of sucks that I didn't think to update my LinkedIn account to
or shut it down."
Huh?
Or shut it down.
But I mean, I don't know. I thought that was very. I thought that was very nitpicky and evasive. Invasive. Yes.
Yeah. That's a good point. I wonder how would I feel. And this is kind of an interesting point when it goes to LinkedIn. By the way, is available in China, and it's still pretty visible. It's very interesting.
I mean, like,
I don't know how I feel about that because.
Well, because I'll tell you exactly how it happened is. Is
they
I made
didn't
my,
mention your manager no. of a dildo company?
No, I yes. No, I made my LinkedIn account before I made my CV. And, you know, once you don't really, if you don't keep a CV up to date all the time, mm-hmm. you have to go back and try to fill in dates.
Right.
I mean, when did I start working at Mint Shanghai? It was 2010, mm-hmm. what month? Mm-hmm. It was in the summer, I'll say July.
Yeah.
Was it?
And you know how Mint was back then. It's like, "Oh, you're working? Kind of, sort of, not really. Hey, show up.
Yeah,
it's a dinner. You're dining with the chairman. Are you dining with the chairman? Are you working? What are you working on?"
Yeah.
It's just really random.
You don't really know.
And some people have been there for years and still, are they working? We're not really sure.
Exactly. So, okay, fine. It's somewhere around July 2010, you know, but in my CV, I decided I was going to put August. Uh-huh. That was one of the discrepancies that they're talking about. And honestly, I didn't think to look. I mean, I don't know if an employer or somebody out there is going to be would think that's a big deal, but mm-hmm. I think that it's petty.
Yeah, I think it depends.
Especially if you can meet somebody face to face and just go, "Yeah, I get it." I mean,
we're slightly getting off topic here, but
we're totally off topic. But I'm just saying that I think I had
a similar situation today.
Oh, yeah?
Where from I'm the perspective of the employer. Where I received an application for someone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have this, our company has an application form where you have to just fill in your information, basic history,
right.
Basic employment history, salaries, da da da, right? So, and of course, I ask everyone for a CV as well or a resume. So the guy sends me his CV or resume, and I look at it, whatever. And then he comes in for the interview, and before you start it, everyone fills out the application. So there was large discrepancies between the salaries on his resume and the salaries on his application, which to one degree I was like, okay, well, he wants to get paid more, so he's asking for more, and it's, you know, it's up to me to negotiate, but it is factually incorrect.
Yes,
you know, and we asked, it's a official form where we asked to be factually correct,
right?
But then,
okay, so
how nitpicky should I be about that?
But I, and then again, you know, look, I'm on the. I understand how people want to be say if okay, if you're applying for a GM position, you have to be detail minded. You should have picked up that discrepancy because you know if I'm looking at the P&Ls and things like that, you know I should understand that there's different numbers at different places and they don't add up. Mm. I understand if it was it's that logic. But you know I'm not an online social person.
I understand. It's like them finding your MySpace profile and be like, hey, your MySpace says you're a student.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you a student or are you a GM?
Exactly. I mean, and we can go to like we can go to
or Friendster.
How do you claim your salary? Because let's say I have a base salary and I also have a bonus. I mean, so what is my net salary?
Yeah.
I mean, they could say net salary with bonuses. They could say what is your salary? I mean, and if I told them my net salary, I would not go to another job for my net salary. I would only go for my net salary plus bonuses.
Of course, naturally.
You know, so naturally. I mean, it may be the same thing with this guy. So I mean. I always think that once you
I think this guy was straight up lying.
I'm just saying once you take the personal aspect out of that kind of situation, then you are using technology to be invasive into people's privacy, and you're taking the person out of it.
And I
think that is wrong. And I was gonna cry.
Speaking of which, we got into Shanghai. It was after my first job, and I was I do some computer work, online graphical work, and like design and whatnot. And I was applying for some design jobs, and I'm just applying everything, right? I'm just finding ads, I'm sending my portfolio, sending my CV to them, and you know some people get back, some get back. You just kind of bombard them. And one company gets back. You're on the short list. I want you guys, you know, write about some of the product, you know, okay. How would you describe it? How would you design it? Design inspiration based on our products.
Right.
Cool. No problem. Went to the website and looking around and I'm like, huh? So the company name, I think was Lilo.
Okay.
So
what's the point?
If you know what it is, you know what it is. No, well, I'm getting to it.
Well, what's the point?
Well, I'm getting to it.
Okay.
I'm looking at it. I'm like, and actually, if you know what it is, you're already laughing. And if you don't know what it is, when you first see the products, you're like, I don't know, what is it? Like some kind of...
Oh, the dildo company.
Exactly.
Ah,
you're
yes.
Like, is it some kind of like jewelry? Because it looks... I mean, they're extremely well designed. But I was like, oh shit, it's a dildo company. Oh, it's a dildo company. And I decided not to go through with it.
That's too bad.
No, not too bad at all.
Why?
So it wouldn't be on my LinkedIn. So in the future, it would not affect...
I mean, you don't have to put it on your LinkedIn.
Yeah, but then it'll be a gap. Then it'll be other
that's
things.
That's true. There's a gap. And then now that's even worse.
And that's even worse.
What have you been doing for that year?
Yeah. Just working for a company. What do they do? Stuff.
Stuff.
Don't worry about it. I did a good job. Don't worry about it. Exactly. And I mean, I think it's, I don't know if it's a tragedy, but it's kind of slightly sad that you can't do it. Who cares? You know, it's a product. People buy it or don't buy it. But I'm 100% like, you know what? Long term, I don't think it's in my interest. Short term, it's in my interest.
Okay, but what is the...
The point is, back then I was already due to data mining, due to LinkedIn.
Oh, right.
Was before I was even on LinkedIn, I think. LinkedIn was already out, but I wasn't even really on LinkedIn. Yeah, so, you know, before LinkedIn. But anyway, just saying that, you know, data mining or not, I don't know if data mining is the right word, but all of that is a concern. I want to get back to your topic real quick. Dude, Apple Pay.
Oh, yeah, Apple Pay is trying to come into China, and they're trying to come into China hard.
They're not trying to. They're in. They're everywhere now.
I'm going to say trying to because Alipay and WeChat already have the market.
But who else has the market? And I think this is where they do it smartly. Yeah, so they partner with UnionPay. That's how they're coming in.
UnionPay already has 10%, yeah.
So UnionPay, if you're a credit card, debit card, bank card, everything is on, you know, if you're a credit card, if you're a MasterCard and you operate in China, you have to partner with UnionPay. It's kind of this, how would you describe it, financial...
I have no clue. I never really understood what UnionPay was.
Yeah, I didn't either. No, but I think Apple Pay, I was just surprised. I walked into like a convenience store, get a small one, and I look at the Apple Pay sticker, and you're like, holy shit. Like, again, overnight.
Are you sure they just don't have the sticker?
Like, it's quite possible. Boop, stick it at the
because
door.
It's cool. I don't know, man. I've seen a lot of Apple stickers on...
Yeah, mopeds.
Whatever, yeah, mopeds. Whatever. Helmets.
Yeah.
Nokia phones,
that's true. No, I mean, they partner with UnionPay. And again, UnionPay is this financial system that is just brilliant. I mean, that the way they're doing it. So it's in UnionPay's interest, and UnionPay is a local, you know, it's a Chinese infrastructure system company. So,
oh, is it?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
I don't even know.
It is. It
I know
is,
it's
it
here. I don't know if it's
Chinese. Only Chinese. It just only exists in China.
Well, it also Hong Kong. You consider the same?
But I mean, they're Chinese mainland first before like okay. the other. Oh, okay. I think. Asterisk. I think. Source.
Yes.
Some shit I heard.
But it doesn't matter. We'll make a Wikipedia page to prove ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. No, but it's. I think it's a good. It's an interesting topic because I think people don't understand that. Like, I don't pay any of my bills in person. I don't mail checks.
No, I don't know
what I go on my Alipay. It'll tell me how much. Like, how much I have to pay this month. Well, pay done.
Exactly.
It's kind of a problem because I'm just whatever, buy shit. It's kind of fine. It goes to my bank account. It's
yeah, but okay. It's stuff that you have to pay for anyway. You have to pay for electric and water and gas and things like that. The only thing you don't have to do is take your bill down to some bank and sit there and wait in line.
Yeah, I mean everything now and the way I don't know to describe the process, the way it works is kind of cool.
Actually, do you want me to demonstrate how to pay a bill online right now?
Are you gonna do it right now?
I'm gonna do it right now.
So I mean, you open your WeChat or Alipay account and there's if you have an iPhone, you could do Force Touch and then. Goes straight to pay, and this little QR code will pop up,
right?
And a barcode, and basically the shop will just scan it, and you confirm with your thumbprint or password, and boom, done.
So right now I have two bills there for my electric that I did not pay.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna pay one.
Well, there we go. He's doing it right now. This is so boring for people listening.
Well, I'm just.
They are bored to tears with this episode.
You want to know they're bored to tears? But you know what I did?
What?
I just paid my bill.
Damn. So really quick. I really like. I know you use WeChat a lot more. So WeChat is also the and they're starting to mimic each other. You know, like Alipay now has like a chat system too.
Yeah.
You know, like you add friends, you can send money and chat. WeChat also has. It's very identical. But WeChat. So what happened with me? I don't know if you know. So I set it up a while ago, and you link your bank card to it, so it takes money off your bank card. And this is very common in China. The bank. I mean, because I have a name in Latin characters. And this is a Chinese system. There's some issues.
Right.
So I was looking for how, you know, do they put my first name first, my last name first? What ended up is the way it worked is the bank, or I don't know, maybe the system, the way I could link my bank card, if I spell my name, all in capital letters, and all is one word.
Yep.
And it worked. And I was using it for a while, and everything went fine. And one day I log in and it says like, oh, you can't use it anymore because there's a problem with your name. So what I assume happened is the bank fixed my name or they updated their system or, you know, which is good. But then I'm like, okay, well then I'll just change my name. But you can't change your name because you stated that was your name.
Right.
You know, WeChat will tell you, well, this is your name. Why would you want, you can't change your name.
Right.
This is your name.
Right.
So, okay, I want a different bank card, but you still have to use the same name because that's your name.
Right.
So... And also, I think one topic on top of that, for a lot of things, you need the phone number. And really, if you change your phone numbers, it's a huge
issue. Actually, that's a really good point that you bring up because, you know, the phone number is the universal like ID / verification of who you are.
Yep.
So you not only, so let's just say I'm going to go and register for WeChat Pay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So my bank already knows that I have my name, my passport, and whatever. My bank has that. So they have my identification. That identification is at the bank and more than likely shared with the government, more than likely shared with companies or whatever. It's there.
So whoever.
Whoever wants my ID, whatever.
Pretty much has it.
So when I go onto WeChat.
Whoever went to school with the bank manager, passed your info.
Exactly. So when I go back, go on to WeChat Pay, I enter my phone number. The phone number, I press some kind of send button. It sends me a text with a verification code. I verify that it was me that did it on my phone by entering the code, and therefore I'm linked into the system.
Yep.
Because not only does the bank know who I am, my phone company knows who I am with the same passport and name and phone number, and they just communicated with each other. Yep. Same thing with online. If you go online to a platform on your PC or your Mac or whatever, and you go, you more than likely register by adding your phone number anymore.
Yep.
It's like, so actually just the other day I registered for Baidu cloud system.
Yeah.
Cloud system. And
it's
said,
which is just a cloud, which is like iCloud, right? For anyone to say, which you would think you would just like, whatever, just my throwaway Hotmail account, right? That would use to
log
in.
No, but this is actually linked to me as an individual. Yeah, I put in my phone number, it sent me a code, confirmed that it's me, and now I am forever in the system.
Exactly. So now iCloud not only has your ID. It has your, you know, it has your phone number. It has your, so they know passport who you are, number, everything.
Visa number, yeah, yeah, where they, I live, everything.
Everything, everything, everything. And this is just for iCloud service. And you're not, you're saying you're not a little bit concerned about privacy issue? Not a little bit concerned? I'm a little bit concerned.
That it is actually, you know, once I start going through the whole system, yeah. But it is a little crazy. But yeah, going back to what you were saying,
what is this, Mr. David? Is this an Excel sheet of your dildo collection according to size?
The phone is your ID.
It is your ID.
And especially, you know what actually so was fucked really, on WeChat, really, you know what's actually really brilliant now is what that is? Apple has the fingerprint scanner. Now the fingerprint scanner actually is your ID.
We lost this war.
Again, just to explain, I just paid for my bill. Mm-hmm. It was $50 for my electric bill. I just paid it, as you heard. And when I said I was done paying my bill, I was really done paying my bill. Mm-hmm. And they asked me to confirm that it was me. I put my fingerprint on my fingerprint scanner on my iPhone. Yep. And therefore, I am who I am. I am what I am.
Which is actually not too bad that at least, you know, Tim Cook doesn't want to like unlock everything. I don't know if he wants to just keep all the information.
That, you know, something tells me that is only for the States. I bet you if that was China saying, hey, Tim, can you unlock that? He'd be like, what do you mean unlock it?
It's already unlocked.
I'm looking at his pictures live right now.
Actually, you're probably right. It's really probably only for the States.
I think it's only for the
China's
States.
Water. What do you want? Whatever. Here's 20 more people. I don't want them. Ah, just take them anyway.
Just take them.
You might just need take them. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. No, but seriously, I think you're right. I think that's how it's like. And I think what the big question people are asking is like, what's the point of banks now? Mm. Real soon, what's going to be the point of banks? What's the point of a bank account if you have WeChat or you have Alipay?
Right.
Now you have to link them together, but fairly soon. I mean, think about it. It's not that much of a leap forward for you. You hire an employee, a waiter, and say, I'll pay you through WeChat. Step in the arena, that's a stern warning. I'm the pops, I raise the sun like morning. Seems you're still sleeping. Hey, stop the yawning. Open up the blinds and witness the dawning. The new application, and I'm the applier. And I'ma set it off like fire. Yeah, that's where it's at. Make it hot and fat and like puff like that. Keep going with my quick thought experiment. So then why do you need a bank? You don't need a bank, right? Eventually. You could pay your rent with WeChat and Alipay. I can. You could.
Well, you do need a bank.
For what?
Well, the bank is a bank. What is a bank? Define a bank. An actual physical thing that is on the corner of your street with tellers and walls and windows, or a place where your money is stored.
Oh, it's not even that, right? It's not really the idea of your money stored, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's not even your money stored. It's just the idea of it.
So what is it? What is a bank? So yeah, do we need banks or do we need physical banks? No, we don't need physical banks.
David, Ron Paul 2012.
2012? What the fuck?
Shut down the Fed. I don't know. Actually, yes. This is a deep philosophical. But yes, real quick though, we are saying, what's the point of bank? Right? It's a very near future, at least in China, right?
Huh.
I mean, actually, in the States, which is what really cool. What happens in the States? Like, you know, Schwab, Charles Schwab.
Okay,
it's a bank with no physical locations.
Okay.
So that in China doesn't really exist, except, you know, what we're talking about, WeChat and Alipay. But they're really careful not to call themselves banks. But
right. But I mean, right now in my WeChat, I have probably about $2,000. Pretty much a bank.
I mean, there's a technical definition that we're not covering what a bank can do, right? They could give you a loan.
Right.
They could get, I don't know, there's some other legal stuff.
Something tells me that's the next step for WeChat and Alipay.
Yeah.
That you're going to just be able to apply for loans. And, you know, more than likely, they're probably going to use your purchase history, your chat history, your transaction history to help you qualify for it.
Yes, yes, yes. They could tell how much money you can receive, send out. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, a bank kind of does that, doesn't it? Don't they? Like, if you go to a bank, they'll look through your transactions and how much money you have.
I guess so.
I mean, they kind of already do that. But think about it. No more. But ATMs are also kind of becoming useless now. Physical bank locations are...
You know, I think that the summary of this story is, even though we went off topic and on topic and off topic and on topic, is that we are living in a almost cashless society, and we can see it becoming cashless. It's one of those things that you hear as taboo in the States, that you would hear growing up going, we're going to come to this cashless society and there'll be no more banks and everybody will use their fingerprints and some kind of ID, and the Christians call it the mark of the beast and they call it the end times and things like that.
Way to go there.
my mom would say this for sure.
Are you serious?
Of course, man. I grew up with this crap. That one day there will be no cash and nothing, everything will be digital, and you'd be tattooed with this with a number, and it'll be your ID number. And to be perfectly honest, I'm living in China, and honestly, it's not that bad.
First of all, I mean, to be fair, we're really condescending. Like, people on the stage are living in the Stone Ages, and they're trading rocks for vegetables. I mean, I use my debit card to pay for everything.
True.
Yeah. But I think our point is, it's the ease and the fact that, you know, like, you know, they have the on the Visa card, sometimes they have the little logo, swipe to pay.
Right.
Never seen anyone use that. I mean, I'm sure there's someone who has, but I've never swiped
to pay. Oh, like, place it on the thing.
Yeah, never seen anyone use that. Never used it once. Never, ever. Right. Whatever. I'm sure some people have. And some people have like a little different swipe version. And sometimes you swipe and you have to sign.
Right,
sometimes
right.
You sign, you interrupt. It's all really, really different. Here, Alipay is the norm. And it's just such the norm that it's really becoming like you really don't need to carry cash. I mean, it's really, that's what I'm saying. That's what makes it really, really different. The fact that it's one system for everything.
Right.
But real quick, your mom does know that cash is also a representation of value. It doesn't mean cash in itself has no value, right? She understands this, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's the same thing. I mean,
well, I don't know. It's more of like a
no, but I understand people say that. People
it's
say
a
that.
Biblical revelation sort of thing where everybody's gonna be marked with some number, and then you know that's how what's gonna show the end times, and then and that time you know.
But you know, it's but my thing is yeah, but it's like people like oh you know everything's gonna be valueless. Let's buy gold, right? Like because gold is you know it's not like cash,
but
you
it's know? Also a value.
It's also you know like it also has value, right? You know, if there's a cashless society, and you give me gold, but you know if no one accepts gold, I'm not going to get your gold. I'm going to keep my vegetables, right?
Right.
Or vice versa.
No. That's not what she's saying. She's just saying like the transition from freedoms and encroaching into freedoms, and that's what they're trying to express. And
no,
the
government. I've heard that so. You know, you hear that all the time, actually, in the States, right?
I mean,
or not just in the States, everywhere.
I mean, yeah, in the States, and you know, it's not about change. You know, to be perfectly honest, after having this conversation with you, I think that I'm now a lot more wary of using the system because I don't think I've ever thought through totally the process of signing up for WeChat Pay.
The more you know.
The more you know. The more you think about, you know, to
the
be
more
honest.
You think you know. I think that's a conversation with yourself that you had about your LinkedIn account.
I think there's two conversations. There's two things I've learned. Like, one, I have to update my fucking LinkedIn account.
Get off that shit.
If I say it was August, it was fucking August across the board. Or else I am not going to get the job.
You know what I do now, honestly? When I write my new iteration of my CV, I use it based on my LinkedIn account.
Yeah?
Yeah, I use that as a... Because that's the most visible. That's the most... And remember, the problem with it is now there's an internet Wayback machine. So everyone's really clever. They could check what you wrote previously on your LinkedIn.
Really?
Yep.
Well, you know what? I don't like anything anymore.
I don't like James.
And you know what I'm doing right now? I'm going for... SproutWorks.
Smoke signals.
I'm going for SproutWorks and I'm going to go pay with my WeChat Pay. Well, anyway... I'm David.
I am Jeffrey, and
you kind of forgot there.
You kind of did forget, but hopefully we'll be back soon. And is there any updates? Anything? Nothing.
What on China MSG? Well, we have two, like I said, two podcasts in the kitty. So if you're listening to this one, then you already heard the other ones. And if you didn't hear the other ones, go back and listen to them.
Yeah,
and also go back and listen to season one
of China
MSG. Thanks, guys. Boo 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 MSG.
Music on this week's episode of China MSG is by MOP with Anti Up, Kendrick Lamar with Money Trees, Jonas Brothers with Paranoid, The Sex Pistols with Liar, and A Tribe Called Quest with Moneymaker.